I think we've got it. So, like I said, I wanted to thank Bob and Jeannie for giving me this opportunity to share this subject. This is something that I've been really looking at now for a while, and trying to master it, actually. So I had it on my heart. I know God wants us to know what I'm going to share, and so let's get started. You know that song that Ralph just played? Is so, I love it because it's simple, but it's accurate. And it says that from the dust of the ground, God formed a man. He made for him a body with a mind to understand. Do you know the mind that God gave us when he formed, made, and created us was meant, it was designed to hold God's word. And it's so important that we put that word on in our minds and in our lives. After all, it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And God also says about his word, for thou hast magnified thy word above all of thy name. So first and foremost, we need to have the word in our life, we need to study it, and we need to have the accuracy of it the best we can. Then there's another part of that song that I really like, and it says, on the day of Pentecost, God, now I forget the words. Might have to sing it. On the day of Pentecost, the time had fully come. God sent his spirit, and he fulfilled that we should be born again. So, and what does the song say? That they spoke in tongues. That's one of the manifestations. And that spirit that he gave us is very powerful. That's that new part of who we are, body, soul, and spirit. Now, we need to understand that spirit in our lives. That's a gift from God, and it is available for us to operate that. God says that it's mighty. Look at Acts 1:8. But, and this is Jesus Christ saying this before he ascends. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. So the disciples at that time were waiting in Jerusalem for that gift. And why would I share this today? Why would I share about Holy Spirit in the manifestations? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. Well, what's beautiful about the King James, if you look this up, that word gifts is in italics. And in the King James, when something is in italics, it means that it's been added by the translator. So guess what? We can take that word out, and it's now concerning spiritual. That word spiritual is the word pneumatikos, and it's a Greek word. It means those things that concern and are directed by the Spirit, or simply spiritual matters. So God doesn't want us to be ignorant of spiritual matters. And that's why we're teaching this. That's why you're learning this morning. You know what? There's some handouts at the beginning of each table. I'd like you just to pass them around. Those couples can share one, and to make sure that the people here on the side get one as well. We're going to refer to some of the diagrams and information that is on this paper. You know, this is a vast subject, and there's a lot of detail. So what I'm going to do this morning is just introduce this subject to you and just give you an overview. And at the end of my sharing, I have some material that will act as a resource for you. And I highly encourage you to get some of this material because it might answer some questions. It might fill in some blanks for you. This is very detailed, and again, this is something that God wants us to know about. So how are we doing? Everybody got one? Okay, take your paper there, and at the top, you're going to see a diagram. And this kind of lays it out in a real simple form. It says at the top, God, the giver, who is Holy Spirit, God is capital H, capital S, can only give what he is, which is his gift. And that's small h, small s. And guess what? When you're born again, that's what you get, is that small h and small s. And that is Christ in you, which is the power from on high that was promised in Acts 1:8. Now you'll look, it kind of fans out, and you're going to see some words. These are called, in the middle, you'll see going around it, manifestations in the senses world. Now, that actually is brought up in 1 Corinthians 12:7, where it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So see, it's not talking about gifts here. These little divided areas are not gifts. The gift is Holy Spirit. These are the manifestations. Speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith or believing, working of miracles, and gifts of healing. Now, I want to share with you the great principle that's very important to understand. God works with us by working with the spirit that he gave us. He speaks, for example, to that spirit, and that our spirit speaks to our mind. That's how God communicates, and it's very flowing, and it's just like that. It's very quick. One other thing I want to talk about, when God works, it's always with. It's never through, and God never uses people. That is the wrong source. The adversary does that. God wants a relationship, so he works with us, and he works with that Holy Spirit in us. I want you to think of Holy Spirit like a toolbox, okay? And in that toolbox are all of these tools that you can use. And that's what we're going to learn today, is those tools that he's given us to use. Now, you'll see these in this little fanned out, speaking in tongues, etc. Those actually go into three groups. And in each group, they have three manifestations in them. So, let's jump right into this, okay? The first manifestation is the manifestation of speaking in tongues. I want you to turn over your piece of paper, and on the back, you have the definition of what the different manifestations are. So the first thing I'm going to do is read the manifestation of speaking in tongues. Is your operation, you, the man, the person that has a spirit, you operate this manifestation. And it's operation of the God-given ability whereby you may, at any time in your private prayer life or in a believer's meeting, if interpreted, show forth by speaking in an unknown tongue. This is an unknown language to you. The external manifestation in the senses world of the internal reality and the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? This wonderful manifestation that God's given us by the gift of Holy Spirit. Now, the first thing we need to realize is when the apostles received Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, what was the first thing they did? They spoke in tongues. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 4. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost is more accurate, and began to speak with other tongues or another language, as the Spirit God gave them utterance. that word utterance is the speaking. So what happens here is God speaks, works with your spirit, and then you receive the words. And this is by inspiration. So it's a wonderful manifestation, because it is speaking in tongues, tongues of men or of angels. It's an actual language. It's not known to you, but maybe somebody out there, you know, knows that language. And that is in Acts 2:4. Hang on. That's in 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. So this is an actual language. And this part is really sweet, because God is all about a relationship. This speaking is the word laleo, which is the Greek word for speaking without reference to what is being spoken. So what is so cool about this, as we're speaking it in tongues, it's bypassing our understanding. We're not going to screw it up. It's our spirit speaking to God as he gives us the words. And what is so sweet about that is we have instant communication with God. We have that free-flowing fellowship that we can go ahead and commune with our Heavenly Father. And then another very important thing about speaking in tongues, I want you to look at your paper again. And at the bottom, you're going to see the manifestations of Holy Spirit. At the very bottom of it is kinds of tongues. Do you know how important it is to speak in tongues? When you see this in this diagram, it's the foundation for the rest of the manifestations. It is what the other manifestations are built on. I would consider, and I know God considers this, like a primer. Ralph has been working on a project at home for Christmas, and he's taken this wood, Sepeli, is that what it's called? Sepeli. It's a beautiful, when you put a clear lacquer on it, it's this beautiful red color, and then it has a seam of white oak, white maple. Anyway, they're really pretty, and he's worked really hard on them. But guess what? You know what they need to be used? They need a primer. And that's like the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. The speaking in tongues is like a primer. It seals it, and then you can build on it, and you can use it. So see, that's why the speaking in tongues is so important. Now, I told you I was going to give you some information, resources. I want to do this first because I've got it on my heart. This is a book that our Reverend Bob Linfelt wrote, and this has been a passion in his life, teaching and sharing, speaking in tongues. This book is very thorough. And if you have any questions about speaking in tongues, I would refer you to this. Also, Gabe, if you could put up, Bob has a website. Is that correct? And actually, in this website, so you know what? If you got a pen, write this down on your paper. In this, he does a little video presentation. It's kind of cool to watch. So it's kind of fun, but informative. So I highly encourage you to do this, because I can't cover the greatness of speaking in tongues here. So we're going to let Bob do it in his book and in this website. So that is speaking in tongues. By the way, I should have mentioned, in the first group of the manifestations is speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. These are group number one. And these are inspiration, worship. They are manifestations of edifying, and they take place by speaking. Okay, you have to speak. So, we covered speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. The manifestation, let's read what that the definition of that is on the back. The manifestation of interpretation of tongues is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may, in a believer's meeting, it's very specific, bring forth a message directly from or for God in the language of the people present, the sum and the substance of that which you have just spoken in an unknown tongue. Now, we heard that this morning, right? And it was done beautifully. So that is a great example, and that is one of the great things about tongues with interpretation. It's for instruction. So in other words, if there are people here that maybe have never heard speaking in tongues or not familiar with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit field, they hear that, and it's an example for them. It's like a, you know, like a witness. And it's also to help people that maybe are just learning it. So it's demonstrated by somebody who's been instructed. And this manifestation, like it says, takes place in a gathering or a meeting of three or more people. That's all you need to do tongues with interpretation. And it should be done by two and at the most three, no more. That's the way God set it up. So it is speaking in tongues and interpreting by the self-same person. I mean, I became a Christian through the Assembly of God. And there, somebody we would speak in tongues, and somebody clear across the room would interpret. You know, I didn't know any better, you know. But this is the accuracy here. The self-same person who speaks in tongues does the interpreting. Okay? This manifestation is specifically done to edify those people that are present. It exhorts, it comforts the people. What does exhort mean? Exhort means to encourage and build up. Comfort? Comfort means to give strength and reassurance. And it is a message from God or for God to the people present. This speaking in tongues is one of the most misunderstood manifestation and the most unutilized. People don't use it, right? Guess what? Speaking in tongues and interpreting is the most forgotten manifestation. Interesting. People just skip right over it. And if you speak in tongues, you really are obliged to interpret, because it's to edify those in the meeting. So we need to raise our believing to believe to interpret. The next manifestation is a manifestation of prophecy. And on the back of your page, the manifestation of prophecy is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may, in a believer's meeting, again, three or more people, bring forth a message directly from or for God in the language of the body, the majority of the people present. Now, let me mention, with tongues and interpretation and prophecy, you're not getting like revelation. It's working as God is inspiring you. He's working with your spirit, and that spirit of yours connects with your mind, and the words just flow. And just like tongues with interpretation and prophecy, these are foundations. Just like it shows with tongues at the bottom, these manifestations build. And the reason these two manifestations are important, it's the beginning for a young believer to learn about the unction of God. And so the interpretation or prophecy has a natural starting point and a natural ending point. God is giving you the words, so he's going to start it and he's going to finish it. And we need to start learning that unction of God working with us by doing these manifestations. These manifestations are really sweet and wonderful, and like a little fellowship where everybody gets the opportunity to practice. You know, it's a little harder when you've got a large group, those people that are just learning, but we give them the opportunity because we all need to grow. And then these are all done, like I said, by inspiration from God, not revelation. The thing about prophecy is, it's inspired by God, the words that you're given. And when you speak in tongues and interpret, like I said, you could speak in tongues this long, your interpretation should be about that long, because it's a language, and every language is pretty much the same. Sometimes what happens with tongues and interpretation is the interpretation will be this long. I mean, the tongues will be this long, and the interpretation will be this long. And you know how God protects that manifestation? By prophecy. So when that person is not, you know, listening to the unction of, you know, stopping at the right time, God covers for it. Isn't that wonderful? Now, here's the key. We're supposed to grow up in these manifestations, and we're supposed to use them as building blocks. You know, we all go over a little bit sometimes. You know, nobody's holding a stopwatch here, right? But if you have the habit of going way over, you need to knock it off. You do. Hey, we're supposed to grow up in these manifestations. You know, you've got to get it right. And if you're a believer and been walking for a while, get it right. This is God. This preps you for receiving revelation and God talking to you. You don't want to add to what God tells you, and you don't want to subtract from it. So let's start learning that unction of Holy Spirit when we do tongues with interpretation and prophecy. So the next group, and this is a group, go to the front diagram here. This group is word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. It is called the eyes and the ears of the church. It's instruction. God's giving you instruction. He's giving you information. And it's in the form of what we would say revelation. And it's done by hearing. You're paying attention to God in your life. He wants to talk to you. And he does that through these manifestations. You know, we have three children. And one thing I used to love to do with my children when they were babies, just to get a little break and go outside, I would take them. You know, they were maybe 6 months old or so. I would take them out in the garden, and I would say, you know, it's a beautiful day. You know, look at the flowers. And then I would pick a flower, and I'd bring it up to their nose so that they could smell it. And I would say, look, this is a red flower. It's a rose. Isn't it beautiful? And sometimes they would try to eat it. That's what babies do. But you know, isn't that sweet? That's how God wants to work with us. You know, life is a classroom. And God is our Heavenly Father, and He is the great communicator. He wants to communicate to us more than we want to hear from Him. And we need to learn how to hear Him when He wants to talk to us. It's so, so important. He wants that relationship. And the first one in that group is word of knowledge. And in that group, let's read it. Word of knowledge is the manifestation of word of knowledge is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may receive from God by His revealing it to you certain truths or facts concerning any situation about which it is humanly impossible for you by your five senses to know anything. Look, what we can know by our five senses, God expects us to know, okay? But when that ends or ceases, revelation begins. And that's when this operation comes into effect. You know, he gives us, we get that information from the five senses. But did you know spiritually, there's like a five senses that God uses to communicate with us. It says in Colossians 1:27, it says, which is Christ in you. It's talking about the mystery of that spirit he's given us. which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have Christ in us. And then in Romans 8:10, it says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. That old man nature doesn't count anymore. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. That spirit is righteous. And it's God's spirit that he's given us. And so, guess what? That Christ in us is like eyes behind your eyes, ears behind your ears, nose behind your nose, etc., etc. And I want to explain these to you. We're going to go ahead and this is so important, because with word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits, he can use any of these to communicate with you. So keep that in mind as I read these to you. The first thing is we're going to see how by revelation you can see. Let's turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. You can kind of keep your finger here, because we're going to go back and forth in this chapter. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. And it says, Peter went up upon the rooftop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. That just simply means that he was receiving revelation. And saw, and here's the key, here's the scene. It's like a picture. You kind of see a picture in your mind. And saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. So he saw this. He saw it, you know, spiritually. So it's Holy Spirit, Christ in you behind your eyes. Here we see it working in this situation. How about in Mark 5:30? This is where the spiritual sense of touching or feeling comes into play. In Mark 9:25, it says, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you to leave and come, I charge you, come out of him and enter no more into him. Do you know what Jesus experienced spiritually? He smelled that spirit. It was a foul spirit. Nobody else around could smell it, but God gave him that revelation, and that's how he was working behind the spiritual sense of smell. There is the spiritual sense of taste. I'll just read this one to you, Job 6:30. It says, is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? That discerning is ascertaining. By the way, when you receive revelation from God, it's in the form of ascertaining and not analyzing. Analyzing is what we do with our five senses. We look at a situation and we analyze it. Receiving revelation, it's ascertained. God gives it to you and you just know. It's a spiritual understanding. So that's taste. How about, so we've covered seeing, we've covered touch. Did we cover touch? Okay, let's cover touch. Mark 5:30. And it says in Mark 5:30, it says, Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now, the situation that Jesus Christ was in was a throng of people, a huge group of people. And this woman had an issue of blood, and she had been believing to be healed. And she looked at Jesus and she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And in that culture, women were not at the front of the crowd. They always stayed in the background. But she was so determined to be healed that she pushed herself through the crowd and she touched the hem of the of his garment, and he received revelation. Somebody touched my garment. He felt it. So that's touch. So we covered seeing. We've covered touch. We've covered taste. We've covered smell. The last one is hearing. And this is where there's two ways that God primarily works with us, is we hear his voice. And we need to learn to hear his voice. And that takes practice. And it takes asking him for things and talking to him, right? So the other one is seeing things, getting a picture in your mind, okay? The other ones come into play once in a while, but those are the two main ones. Acts 10, let's go back to Acts 10, verse 13. So this is the same thing. The sheet has come down, and he saw it. In verse 13, it says, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. So the vision that God showed him were things that he wasn't supposed to eat. So he's like, no, I'm not going to eat those things. And then the voice spake unto him again, the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. So you see, here's the example of God speaking, okay? So these are the three ways that Holy Spirit is manifested in the sense of a word of knowledge and word of wisdom and discerning of spirits. Let's talk about the word of wisdom. Let's go to your page again on the back. The manifestation of word of wisdom is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may receive from God by his revealing it to you what to do. What to do about a given situation once you have ascertained, that's spiritual, the truths or facts concerning the situation that he just gave you word of knowledge. Now, while receiving word of knowledge makes you aware of certain truths or facts, when you receive word of wisdom, God is telling you what he would have you to do with that knowledge. They work hand in hand. Okay, so he'll give you knowledge and then he'll tell you what to do. In Acts 10, this is a wonderful chapter for teaching. Acts 10, 19. So he gave him, you're going to see word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Okay, while Peter thought on the vision that he had just saw, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. He had no way of knowing that himself. God told him. That was knowledge. He gave him some knowledge. And then here's word of wisdom. God says, arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So you see, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. That's how it works. Okay? So God, and it's important to understand, this is very important. God is a director in these manifestations. He is the one who directs. We don't direct him. You remember Gideon who laid out the fleece, and he said, God, if this is your will, then have the dew, or have it be dry, but the dew everywhere around it. But see, God was very, very gracious in that situation. He doesn't work like that. We let him direct. You know, signs follow believers. Believers don't follow signs. That's very important. You can get yourself in trouble when you start looking for things. Just follow God. He's there to direct you. He's there to teach you and to show you. So, that is the word of wisdom. Discerning of spirits. Let's read the description of that. The manifestation of discerning of spirits is your operation of the God-given ability. whereby you may receive from God, by his revealing it to you, the necessary information concerning the presence or the non-presence of spirits, and the identity of spirits present, whether they're evil, or whether you may cast them out. So God can actually show you if somebody is born again. That's a good thing. That's Holy Spirit. He shows you the spirits that aren't so good either. And this last part, whether you may cast them out, you need to know from God whether you can cast that spirit out. Did you know that more spirits leave people because of the Word of God? When the Word of God is taught properly, and the person that is dealing with a spirit hears that word and starts putting it on in their mind, there's no room for that spirit. They go. So you might know that somebody has a spirit, but maybe God's saying, don't just leave it and teach them the word. Teach them the word to build them up and to close their mind. So that's very important, whether you may cast them out or not. Now look, there are two gods. In Ephesians 1:3 and Colossians 1:3 as well, it says that our God is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? The other God is the God of this world. And that is recorded in 2 Corinthians 4:4. Now, this God is named Satan, and he's our adversary. He does not love God. In fact, he's all hate. And it says in Revelation 12:4 that Satan was in charge of a third of the angels in heaven, and when he tried to usurp God's power and overtake it, he was kicked out along with his third of the angels, and they became double spirits as we know it. The good news that two-thirds of the angels are still working for God under Gabriel and Michael. So, yay! So, to say that the adversary doesn't have power would be pretty stupid. He's very powerful. He knows how the universe works. He knows how to arrange things and do different things to show signs and different things like that. However, and it's a big however, 1 John 4:4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So he's not afraid of me. He's afraid of that Christ in me. And every time you operate these manifestations, he hates it. You know where it says, resist the devil and he will flee? Do you know what that flee means? Run in terror. The adversary runs in terror at the thought of that Christ in us, because Jesus Christ overcame him. He defeated him. And we have that Christ in us, and we have that authority in the name of Jesus Christ. So we need to learn to use it. We need to listen to God if we're dealing with a spirit, what kind of spirit it is, and what to do about it. Okay? Now, the next manifestations are, look at your sheet here, faith or believing, manifestation of faith or believing, miracles, workings of miracles, and gifts of healing. These are called the impartation manifestations. They're the action. They require action, okay? And they impart something. And in these manifestations, again, it's your spirit working. So the first one we're going to look at is the manifestation of faith or believing. Now let's got to go back to our definitions. The manifestation of believing or faith. The manifestation of believing is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may believe to bring to pass the impossible at your command, according to what God has revealed to you by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. And when this is operated, it inspires believing in others. So you see how these manifestations build? When you get into the impartation manifestations, the information manifestations have come into play. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. So this manifestation of faith, first of all, you need to know it is not our own believing. Our own believing is limited. It's not human believing. It comes from the Spirit of God working within our spirit. He must provide the faith that is needed to believe, to bring to pass the impossible. And this manifestation works when you act. So in other words, if you're going to command, or if you were like Moses who took his staff and was told to put it over the Red Sea, and he did, and it parted, that manifestation of faith comes right when you act. Right when you act, whether it's speaking or doing, that's when God imparts it to your spirit. So, and when he does, man, you know, it's the green light and it's go. So that's very important. This is from God working in our spirit. It's something he gives our spirit. And he gives that faith as we act. He does this by energizing the manifestation of spirit within, which enables you to believe for a miracle to come to pass at your command. In John 5:30, Jesus Christ said himself, I can of mine own self do nothing. He did, just like I've been talking about these manifestations, except for tongues and in tongues with interpretation, he didn't do that because he didn't have Holy Spirit born within. He just had it upon him. And that's why on Pentecost, they were able to speak in tongues because they were born again. That spirit was inside. But he did these just like us. And he realized it wasn't him. It was God working with him. Okay? So it says in Daniel 11:32, we'll just read this. The people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So we need to know our God. We need to know our Father. Finally here, working of miracles. That is the spiritual power within us that gives us the power to be more than conquerors, like it says in Romans 8:37. Let's look at the definition of working of miracles. It says, a working of miracles is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you may, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the manifestation of believing, bring to pass miracles according to what God has revealed to you by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Again, this manifestation is by action. These are action manifestations. You're either saying it or you're doing something. And that's required for this to come about and be activated. We receive word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. It is required action and or speaking. So those are required to receive it. God tells you what to do in a certain situation. So it's interesting if we look at the action or the speaking. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. What did he do? He commanded. This is that miracle. It was a miracle raising Lazarus from the dead. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. He had that faith working, and he spoke it. And when he did, boy, that faith came in, and he commanded it. That's that power base that we have by Holy Spirit. That is ours to use. Let's look at Mark 9:25. Let's take a look at that again. Mark 9:25. It says, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit. That rebuking of the foul spirit was a miracle. Whenever you command a devil spirit to leave, that's a miracle. And saying unto him, dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him. That was the command that he gave. That's our authority that we've been given through Jesus Christ. And he said, and enter no more. So see, we see here that the miracle took place when he spoke. So, and then we think about, again, Moses. He had to take his staff and put it over the Red Sea. And when he did, the Red Sea separated. So when he did that, that power in that manifestation worked. And he received the manifestation of faith and a manifestation of miracles. So that's how manifestations of miracle works. You know, these manifestations in this particular category, they're like ringing a dinner bell. When you ring a dinner bell, it's like, okay, everybody come to eat. Spiritually, when you ring that dinner bell, it's telling everybody out there, come to God. It glorifies God. And it shows the power of God so that people see that God is real. And, you know, you could be witnessing or teaching the word, but boy, when you do manifestation of miracles or healing, it backs up that word that you're teaching, and the people present see that power of God. So it's kind of like ringing a dinner bell, calling everybody for dinner, calling everybody to God. The next manifestation is the gift of healing. And that is a very special one. Have you ever had compassion on somebody? Somebody that you see that is hurt, that is physically ailing? You know, what is so beautiful about this manifestation is it can heal that person. It is so beautiful. And you know, God wants everyone to be well. He wants everybody to be healed. But the thing is, we walk with God, and he tells us. I mean, if it were up to me, I'd heal everybody. I would. I have a big heart. I want to help. But we walk with God. We do what he tells us to do. So in this manifestation, it requires a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirit. And whenever somebody is instantly healed, that's a miracle. Okay, so there's three things we need to understand in our power base. We are what the Word of God says we are. We have what the Word of God says we have. And we can do what the Word of God says we can do. You are what the Word of God says you are. What are you? You're a son of God. You have Christ in you. And that's 1 John 3:1-2. It talks about our sonship. You have what the Word of God says you have. Spirit within. Galatians 4:6 says, he sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. So we have that in our hearts, in our lives, that Spirit. And you can do... guess what? You can do the same works that Jesus did in greater, because he went to the Father. And it says in Mark 16:15-16, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover and be healed. So those are important things to remember in our lives. The impartation manifestations make you effective in witnessing, like we just said. In Mark 16:20, just let me back this up with scripture. And it says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So this is a very important manifestation for that. It's really important to understand that the manifestation of healing is not intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer is something that we do maybe together or in our private prayer life, and it's praying for others. Now, this is powerful. I mean, it is a powerful tool in our toolbox. I mean, let me give you an example. Look at Jeffrey. We were all praying and believing for him, and God was able to move, and he can do miracles through that praying. And Jeannie does a beautiful, loving job of supplying that prayer list for us. That is prayer of intercession. But this prayer in this manifestation of healing is the prayer of command. When Jesus went up to this whole area in the word about Jesus and coming up to the fig tree, and he rebuked it because it wasn't bearing fruit. It says, and he said, what he was doing in this particular analogy is he was teaching. He was teaching his disciples how to use that prayer of command. So that's the difference. That prayer of command is in a given situation when all of those manifestations take place. And the last thing I want to say about the gift of healing, just as an exhortation and instruction, there is something called first, second, and third aid. Guess what first aid is for us? God. You go to God and you pray and you ask him for healing and you let him direct. The second aid is you go to a fellow believer and you both get together and that believer can minister to you the gifts of healing. Third aid is the other two didn't work. You go see the doctor and the doctor can be, I mean, the doctor, God can work with the doctor, right? So we pray and believe for that. But you know what I see? People have got this upside down. The first thing they go to is the doctor, and they leave God completely out of the picture. You go to God first. You go to a believer and pray and believe with them to be delivered. And then you go to God. And the reason it's called gifts of healing is because whenever God heals, it's a gift. You know, it's something beautiful that God does for us. Our bodies were designed, body, soul, spirit, our bodies were designed to heal themselves. And that's important to remember. So, you know, we take care of our bodies, right? But when that fails, we can go directly to God. So, a lot of information, right? I hope that I covered it all for you. If you have any questions, please ask. And I promised that we would have some resources. This in particular is a resource that I have been looking at recently. It's a compilation of like little pamphlets or little booklets, and it was compiled and worked by a gentleman by the name of Robert Wilkinson. He was inspired by God to work these manifestations and to teach them. And his ministry is Wildfire Ministries Global. So I'm going to put these two things, Bob's book and this, up on the table as the table that as you come in. And I want you, if you want to take a look at them and go through them and see what's available. You know, the wonderful thing about resources, books, and material like this is something you can continually go back to and refer to. It's like a little treasure. So I really encourage you to use those resources. So, you know what? There's a saying. You ever heard it? You were born for this. Guess what? We were born again for this. For the manifestations of Holy Spirit. So let's use them, let's grow up spiritually, and let's walk with power. Okay? So I'm going to close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so, so thankful that you are our God and you are our Father, that you love us, that you want to communicate with us, that you want to have that sweet and tender fellowship with us. And one of the ways we can do it is through these manifestations. So I just thank you for everyone here, God. I just thank you for great understanding and great hunger to know you better and to know how we can operate what you've given us. So in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
So have I got this thing working? Okay. So that was wonderful, Sandy. That's a lot of information. Okay, so we've got calendars back on the table. What else did you say, Jeannie? Oh, yes. And we've got a great dinner plan. So everybody, let's dig in. God bless.